Sit Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
So we are recording midweek in between the 23-21 loss to the Saints in preseason game two, and we have preseason game three coming up on Sunday. You know, how's everything going with you guys? I know we chatted a little bit before about the what is it, the milk crate challenge or something like that?
Man. Okay.
After season's offense, I want to do the crate challenge.
So it's funny because when I see people looking at them climbing those stupid crates, and I'm just like, y'all, like, when do y'all have time to do this stuff? These TikTok videos or anything like that. And where, what grocery store are you going to go steal all these crates from? You are obviously going to Publix, Walmart, or somewhere. And the people that are working back in the cooler, you're just, hey, bro, I need those. Let me go get those right quick. And you're walking out of the store with like 30 crates. You might get a milk crate or two sometimes if you see one outside. You got to have like 20 of these things to get some of these challenges they have that they're going off. Ridiculous. I don't get it. I don't get the whole phenomenon around it. I'm not jumping on a milk crate. I know I'm going to fall and bust my behind. So that's just what it is. But I enjoy the videos of people trying.
I showed my dad the videos, and he works for a school, and he's like, oh man, I've got access to a bunch of those. You want to do this? You want to set this up? I'm like, no, I do not want to do this. Are you crazy? Like, there's no way. But it is, you know, just America's way to be American, I guess.
Is it for like the water challenge, like for a charity or something, or people are just
people doing dumb things.
Okay.
As a local, you know, born and raised Jacksonville citizens, for all of you out there that even try to do it within Duval County and surrounding counties, old man Skinner's Dairy, for all of us that grew up in the 80s. In 90s, telling my age a little bit, he'd be very upset with you guys using those milk crates in that fashion. So
it should be played at the next like family reunion, like instead of like the sack race, three-legged race and all that other stuff. We should do the milk crate challenge at family reunion.
That's actually pretty funny. I would.
Why hasn't anyone done that at the beach yet?
What, milk crate challenge?
Yeah, like I hear it's had something to do with like the grass with it being unforgiving. And like you can do it. It's easier. Supposedly it's easier if you do it like on cement versus grass. But, you know, how come no one's done it at the beach yet?
Well, I can tell you, I haven't done a whole lot of research on this, to be honest with you. I've seen little bits and pieces of this on Twitter and Instagram. But, you know, now that you've brought it to my attention and everything, I'll try to get an answer for you on that.
I honestly think the sand may be the safest place to do it, because think about it, like when you dig in like the sand, it doesn't have as much give, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should drop a bunch of crates off stadium and have a list of players that we think should try this, whether if they're going to make the team or not. That's they make it across, then they make the team. We could do that.
Or how about like to make the press conferences with Urban Meyer a little bit more exciting? He has to climb to the top of the crates to give the press conference. God.
Bro, was that the first time in Jaguars history that like a head coach did a press conference without a Jaguars polo on?
Yeah, generic looking Costco
polo. Bro,
this dude
was up there in the George polo from Walmart. he didn't even have, bro, that wasn't even a Nike golf polo. That was like a cafeteria serving polo, like someone, like a lunch lady wears. Like a plain old white polo with the bacon neck. Like, bro, like, come on, man.
What is that? I mean, wouldn't you think the Jags and the NFL would sort of be, you know, angry about that? I mean, for the first thing is he gets any Jaguars apparel that he possibly wants, right? And the second thing is, I mean, that's like a marketing thing for them. I mean, they want these guys to wear Jags apparel when they're speaking. So why do that? I mean, I know this is like so not relevant, but
look at who his best buddies are. Like, you know, on Belichick, draft day, video of all the coaches, the war room, the big decision. And what's he do? he got his dog in the chair in the kitchen. And Belichick's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Well, I hope Derek.
I got a feeling that Herbs is kind of, he's definitely not him, but he's going to kind of follow in that same manner of, you know, do what I want and wear what I want. And I don't know why, like every time he gets in a press conference, like, why are we believing everything this man is saying? Okay.
All right. That's another thing too. One thing, let me say a couple things about that. One, I still feel like it's so early to, like, you know, kind of like disparage, you know, the truthfulness or whatnot of his press conferences potentially. But I didn't watch a lot of college football when he was a college football coach. I watched some of the big games or whatever, but I never saw press conferences with him. Is this normal, or is he actually dejected on the verge of retiring because of how this has gone so far? Is he normally like this in these press conferences?
No. Okay. So the joke is, okay, the story goes back to his Gator days. You know, they weren't playing too well. They just had a bad season. He locked himself in a closet, all kind of craziness. And so, you know,
locked himself in the closet?
Yeah, he locked himself in a room in a closet. That's the story. Unconfirmed, allegedly. Who knows? So, and then, you know, he does have an issue where he has a mass growing in his head. And, you know, so, you know, stress can cause that mass to, you know, get larger, and goes to Ohio State and then has the thing with the assistant coach, and he abruptly leaves there too. So when you look at it, yeah, he's kind of got that, you know, that love-hate relationship, but winning cures everything. And in both places he won. So that's why the fans stuck up for him, and they're loyal to him at Ohio State. And even Gator fans, now Gator fans have forgiven him. They should. He got him two natties. So, yeah, winning cures everything. So he's just got to win, and then people will get over it. But my thing is just, why are we believing? Like, you know,
why are you saying, why are you saying that, though? What do you mean by that? I don't understand.
I mean, by what?
When you say, why are we believing him? What do you mean by that?
Oh, just he gets up on the podium and he's somber. You know, Trevor's going to be QB1. And then everyone's taking, oh, look, he's already not wanting to be here. Look, he's not engaged. Man, that's what I'm saying. Like, they look at every little thing and they're, like, judging him. I'm like, why are you believing? Yeah, like, okay. Don't look at you. They're looking too much into it. He's probably messing with people. He's probably having fun.
I don't think he's messing with anybody. I think he's got a serious problem on his hand, and I think he needs to understand that.
So he's actually depressed.
I really think he has.
You really think he's depressed already?
I don't think he's depressed. No. I don't think he's depressed. No, but I think he's got a serious problem on his hands to where he needs to know that your preseason games when you were in college was playing against, you know, your Saint Mother of Mary Catherine universities and like all those other places where you had to go ahead and get your plays and things like that figured out. Like right now, man, your number one, your golden goose has taken pressure 40% of the 40% of the time. Like every game is going to count, not necessarily going to count, but people are going to be on your tail for the next 19 weeks or 18 weeks of the season right now. And for what we're looking at right now, and the thing that's probably stressing him out is, I don't know if he wants to, I don't know how much I believe of he wants to show this or doesn't want to show that or anything. But my thing is, bro, you got to be able to line up and run some type of Madden offense, something. Bro, you got to be able to run trips right. You know, FL Go. You got to be able to run a power dive. You got to be able to run something. And you can't do that right now. At least with the first stringers. But, you know, within as certain Jacksonville, two things have been constant with Jacksonville. One, I don't understand how the offense continues to run on 3rd and 8. You have a 6-yard play. I don't get it. I do not understand how it's 3rd and 8 and you complete a pass in front of the sticks and not beyond it. That's one thing that's been constant since Mike Mularkey has been here, or since Mike Mularkey was here. And then the other thing that's been, you know, constant with the Jags, damn, I lost my train of thought. It was a really good point too. Dang it. Hold on. The 3rd and 6.
Passing short of the first down.
No, it wasn't passing. Dang it, I forgot my train of thought. Anyway, that too. they're not good. But dang, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyways, yeah, I don't understand how that is just so constant to where the offense just looks just mediocre, you know, through so many regimes.
Because the offensive line's been horrible.
But has it? Everybody's coming out of the woodworks now and like trying to be a pro or trying to be a reporter and being like, oh, well, the offensive line has been shady for the last 2 years. When Minshew was going on his tear with Minshew Magic, it was the same offensive line and he was making crap happen.
Minshew was moving around the pocket. Second of all, defenses weren't taking them seriously. And you got defenses now like, oh, we got Golden Boy here. Let's go ahead and get
him. How do you not take them serious?
Because we're the Jags.
There's no way the defenses aren't scheming and saying that we're not going to take this guy serious. We're just going to line up in a base formation and just say, oh, we've got him back there.
Yeah, no. They I'm going to tell you this. We've been the laughingstock of the league for I don't know how long. Okay. Years. Okay. So when you really look at this, now that we've got a first round draft pick, we've got this shiny new QB, we've got this shiny new coach, you know, you're going to have more, you know, people coming after you. They're going to be more motivated. Maybe they weren't motivated. We still went 1-15. Yeah. Minshew tore it up, but how much of that was garbage time? What do you mean the year before that? Minshew wasn't here the year before that.
What are you talking about? He was with Nick Foles. When Nick Foles went out, he was in. So that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago. So the year before that, you know, everyone had to scheme for him. This dude came in. He came in and completed and like set a record for most completed passes in a row. And with the same makeshift offensive line. So I don't understand how everybody's just saying all the stuff about the offensive line not being able to hold up. They're continuing to find them as a scapegoat, and I really think that the issue is the coordinator. I think that there's something not clicking.
We're not going to dwell on that game, but the game was called poorly when you look at it because of the plays he was leaving him out to dry a lot. He wasn't doing anything to protect them as far as from a play call standpoint, whether if it's, you know, if you're running 5 and 7 step drops, you know, you got to run some different things to change it up. He was being a little bit too predictable.
I found out the second thing I was going to say. Sorry, before I lose my
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So,
I gotta hear this.
Okay. So the first thing was them running the third and six. They run the play like 2 yards in front of it. And the second thing is us getting hype about the backup quarterback. Now it's CJ Beathard Hyde. Like, everyone loves CJ now. Screw Minshew. Everybody wants CJ now.
Hey, Urban Meyer was even doing that in the press conference.
Okay, he
was
like
quick release, and I really like what he's doing out there, fast pace. I mean, he's saying it, you know.
I mean, that's the second string quarterback is the most popular person in town. Consistently. And I would say the third thing too would be just lack of offensive production. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's so if the offensive line, if your quarterback does not have time to throw balls, right? And not to get super technical into it or anything else like that. And I'm just basing it off of what I would do in Madden. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just trying to be as technically non-technical as I possibly can.
I need to hear this because I suck at Madden.
Listen, if I'm playing a game and if I notice that this guy is sending pressure and sending everything the entire time, I'm going to dink and dunk to I'm going to hit James Robinson out in the flats for him to make a play. I'm going to hit Laviska Shenault, who everyone's been raving about, been this gadget player that you can put him in all these different situations. I'm not putting Carlos Hyde out there because obviously all he knows how to do is just run into, you know, the back of his offensive line. There's no field vision there. Or I'm getting people in space. I'm doing quick plays to free up the blitz. to take pressure off the blitz, right? Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. But and you know, that goes to the play calling, like you just said. And like I just said, we both agree with that. What I'm saying is, when you have an offensive line, what I'm saying is the internal motivation. Okay. The internal motivation for a lot of the teams we're going to play this year is going to be greater than it was last year and the year before, because you've got Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, mm-hmm. two big names. That's all mm-hmm. I'm saying is they're going to get up to play. Yeah. And whereas with Minshew, I'm not saying they didn't, scheming for him, because of course they study, they prepare, defensive coordinators do that. But they're like, is this dude really going to beat us? No. Okay. Now they're like, okay, they think Jacksonville thinks they got something. They got Golden Boy. Okay. Yeah. We're going to show them today. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a little bit more motivation there. And especially for NFL coaches too. There may be some DCs out there that are like, you telling me this guy was able to get an NFL job and I've been doing this for 10 years. He was able to come in and get a head coach gig right away. Okay. We're going to show him today. That's what I'm saying is there's more motivation internally, because at the NFL, and you should know this, we've talked about this, JK3, all these guys are professionals. They're all here and they all can play. They all are, the best at their craft. You give them a little bit more motivation to do something, to play harder, it goes from being good to being really good. And, week one, Houston, we all thought that it was going to be a crapshoot and we would have a chance because they're so dysfunctional. I don't know about that now.
Well, I mean, you're talking about an edge. I mean, the edge would be to be better than 1-15. I mean, 1-15 last year, and the year before that, they were 5-18. And so the bar is 5 games right now, because if Trevor can't and Urban can't go out and beat a 5-11 record. If they can't go out and beat a 5-11 record with Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, all these different athletes. I mean, Urban's doing his best job to clear the roster. I mean, there's a couple of draft picks that he's already cut, on the team right now that were, from the previous regime. So he's doing his best to try to make his mark on it. But the bar for this team is 6 games. I think this is why we need a producer, for someone to really be able to kind of check what the Vegas stat line is right now. But I think the over-under for the Jags right now is like 6 games. I think it's 6 games over under. So, I mean, that's still the record. I mean, that's still the bar they're trying to set. So they're literally playing for 5 games. And if Minshew won 5 games behind this makeshift line, you don't think T-Law can win at least 6. Purely based off arm talent.
Yeah, he could. He definitely could. And we've been doing a lot of bashing. Let's speak about some positives here.
We're not doing any bashing. This is just real talk.
We'll talk. Yeah. And focusing on the negatives. I won't say bashing, but focusing on the negatives. People, Trevor Lawrence has got the real deal arm. There were a couple throws he made the other day. There was one he was going against the grain and he put it on the money and got hit for it. And most QBs can't make that throw. Most QBs in the NFL can't make that throw.
Where he hit his hand on the helmet?
Yeah, I don't know if he hit his hand on the helmet or not, but he was going left and he threw, obviously, with his right hand, and he put it right on the money. There's a Pro Bowl quarterback in Baltimore that I know for a fact can't make that throw, and he can't. So, obviously, he's a different type of QB. Point is, he's got the goods. So, can he get us to 6 wins? Sure he can. But they've got to find some sort of scheme, some sort of, continuity and rhythm on offense. That's another thing, too. They lack – there's no rhythm. There are 2 left feet out there on offense right now.
So you shift to the positive. No more negative.
I mean, it's not negative. It's true. It's just calling it what it is.
So it looks like to me you've got, if Herbs is in his office shuffling pieces around, trying to find that rhythm, trying to find that right shoe, we'll see. But I'm just glad he named him starter finally. Okay, let's get that crap over with. That should have been done 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever. Was it mind games? Or was it Herbs just being Herbs?
He was going to be the starter, bro. You knew that Trevor was going to be the starter the day he was drafted. Like, if he didn't beat Minshew out for the starting job, just strictly based off of arm talent, I mean, you knew that he was going to be the starter when these guys were going to Clemson and doing all the summer camp stuff and everything else like that. Like, I don't understand why it was a mind game or why Urban just decided to wait. Yeah. Maybe he didn't want to hand over the keys or anything else like that. But in my opinion, as far as gameplay goes, I think Trevor has only showed flashes of what he could be. I think it was Minshew's job to lose. I think Minshew had the most continuity with the offensive line, had the rapport with some of the receivers. It was his job to lose. So the only thing that really won Trevor, you know, the position was one, him being the number one or him being the number one overall pick. So you got, I mean, you got to make him the number. He's got to be the starter from there coming in. And two, I don't think Minshew, you know, I don't think the rapport was there for him to, he didn't make the throws. He didn't make the stuff that he should have been. There was a couple of plays that happened in that game where he missed a wide open. He missed the guy, Jalen Camp, textbook throw. Jalen Camp had two guys beat down the side, and all he had to do was throw it on the outside hash. What did Minshew do? He threw it and left it on the inside hash. Jalen had to come back and break it up. There was a wide open, play that he hit. I think it, or he missed. It was either 18 or 11. I think on the offense. I don't know who it was, but he to continue the drive. He hasn't made the plays. He didn't make the plays, and I think that, you know, purely off of some of the flashes that Trevor showed is what's making him the starter. But still, making him the starter only goes so far if we have the same poor continuity and offensive production on Sunday. You can't tell me in these first two games that have happened right now that he's done anything spectacular for you to say, that's the number one pick. For I see why we got him. A couple of throws against the grain. What has he really done to solidify himself as a starting quarterback?
So isn't that the reason that they are making him the starter, to get him more reps in practice? Is that going to make a big difference, you think, or is it too late?
It's supposed to, if things are followed the way, you know, whatever the way is. Yes.
Is he the Mandalorian?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever the way is. But he's not even – is he even going to play this week? I don't think he's going
to
play. So it's
he's
not
supposed
like
to be playing. I think they said they're all going to play.
They're going
to
jump. They're all
going to play
out there.
They better.
Well,
they haven't earned anything not to play.
That's true. That's true.
You're in the starting job, evidently.
Yeah. That makes it so much more, and you're going to cut him out.
The point is, they've got to find some offensive rhythm somehow, some way. C.J. Beathard has found it, and there's a decent chance that he could be the backup. There's a decent chance that they could carry three QBs, which they never have done. That's not usually the Jaguar way, but different regime, obviously. But Minshew's in a bit of trouble for that backup spot now, because Beathard is pushing.
Because Beathard's made the plays that he needed to make.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. No, I'm just saying. We've got
a better look at this offense from C.J. Beathard than what we have from Trevor Lawrence.
But you also got to remember too, we're talking about third and fourth stringers by the time he gets into the game. It's the preseason.
He's taking what he's given. Yeah. You got to play to the level of your competition.
So, I don't know. I'm on the, hey, just go with the guy who's gotten you the most points, you got the most drives, and Minshew, if you decide to keep him, fine. If not, there's probably no market for him. Then just, you know, you let him go.
But, they'll get something for him.
You think they'll get something for him? You really?
They'll get something for him. Probably not now, because a catastrophic injury hasn't happened yet. But I think that, there was rumor that the Eagles were interested in Minshew earlier this year, and the deal fell apart. There's going to be some lookers, and there's going to be some people out there for him, just because he's a game manager. He's somebody that can come in and really just manage the game and manage the offenses and manage some of the things you've done. I mean, you forget, he won 5 games as someone who was just running around making plays and finding the open man. Mm. That's it. Like, I mean, unless Doug Marrone had like a crazy, unless that was stuff that was just actually planned for him to do, you know, he's a game manager. He's someone that comes out and, you know, and manages, you know, he'll will you to a win. I mean, that's why I don't think he played a lot of the games last year. You know, you could say he was a thumb injury, but one thing that he is, he's not a quitter. He's got
heart. Oh, no.
So, he's going to win you games.
Oh, I'm definitely not questioning.
You're going to win him that. But, I mean, based off of, you know, all that happens is all it needs is an injury needs to happen. Someone that doesn't have a plan B is going to get desperate and really be able to give up, you know, hopefully, you know, compensatory pick, maybe a fifth, you know, for him, depending on how desperate they are. I mean, if Blake still had looks and was considered in the camp, and I love the boat just like everybody else. But I mean, if he had, you know, was considered at one time in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Is he on a team right now?
No,
I don't think so.
That's shocking, isn't it? Not on a team at all.
Not really.
Not on a team at all? What's
shocking is Todd Gurley's not on a team. That's what's shocking.
No, Todd Gurley's knee is toast. That's why he's not on the team. If his knee wasn't toast, he'd be on someone's roster.
Well, so you guys were talking about Urban's decision on waiting to name Lawrence the starting quarterback. We talked about the press conference, and then we were talking in the group text the other day about the I don't know if it was an article or like a radio interview or something that Pete Prisco did, where he was sort of I guess becoming the outlet for certain players that were feeding him information that they're unhappy with Urban Meyer, and you know, they think it's too much of a college approach, and it's sort of like the criticisms you hear a lot of times for college coaches that are in their first year. What do you guys attribute that to? Because Prisco wouldn't just make that up. There's some players telling him that and wanting to get that out there. So is that something that we should be concerned about?
If the players were here last year, then their opinion doesn't matter. End of story. That's just that. If they were here last year, their opinion doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is, okay, if you were here last year and the year before, heck, even the 2017 season, if you've been here that long, which I doubt it, there might be one, a couple of them. No.
Unless he heard it directly from DeJuan Smoot. unless Smoot or Miles Jack, you know, told him that, then that's the only person, you know, that would be the only credible thing ever. Because like you said, Derek, y'all went 1-15 last year.
Yeah.
You got no reason to be complaining about anything. The year before that,
that's a good point.
You know, you went 5-11?
Right? I guarantee you. Yep. One player that may have said that, and we don't know. We don't have any sources.
Don't speculate, because we still may need him on the podcast. Don't speculate.
But there's one. there's two players I think said it. Ooh. One in particular. He happens to play left tackle for us, but you know, he could be a leak, but I don't know. Because just the fact that
Cam Robinson,
obviously, there's something there. I don't know. There's just something there. And, you know, he really wasn't all that excited about coming back anyway.
I mean, now that he's got competition too. And I don't know how much of a competition it would be, because, and see, the thing too is like, so we don't have access to training camp and seeing all these things, and we just hear all these things about Walker Little being this and Walker Little being that, and just literally seeing Walker Little getting walked into the quarterback, you know, on Monday Night Football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, and that's the third thing that I think of that's consistent with Jags. Them getting embarrassed on nationally televised, you know, TV. Bro, right. I have friends and family that are nationwide, and as soon as they get the chance to see the Jags and hear all this stuff that I've been talking, what
garbage.
Happens?
Yeah, that's, you know, garbage.
That's what happens.
Derek, who's the other guy?
Oh, I'm not gonna say anymore.
Oh, you already said one. Why don't you say the other one? Just say the other one.
I'm gonna keep my opinions to myself.
You already outed Cam Robinson.
He's burying the lead. He wants to be right in midseason when this person gets traded before the trade.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that obvious? Should I know?
Keep it to my... No, it's not that it's obvious. It's just when you look at, you know, certain things about, you know, people that have been on the team and the things that way things have gone, obviously you can't really tell. They're not sitting there asking questions. Oh, do you like herbs or not? You know, or do you like Coach Meyer or not? You know, of course they're going to answer in a positive manner. I just look at it like from body language, you know, just watching body language of people when they when they react with him.
Like CJ Henderson, maybe? Is that who it is?
No, I don't even think CJ Henderson, to be honest with you. No,
CJ Henderson doesn't talk. So I wouldn't be him. So,
yeah.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I just look at like body language, and that's why like Cam Robinson's body language has kind of just been like, you know, whatever, you know, he's just kind of a couple times that, you know, I've seen him not just in practice footage, but in game, his body language just hasn't looked there.
Was it you know, Tebow after he got cut?
Man. He started leaking everything.
Wouldn't that be so funny?
And correction, and Tebow did not. It wasn't 9 years. It was like 6 or 7 years that he was out of the league. Maybe 6 years, I'd say. I think I said nine the other day, but it felt like.
Oh, okay. Somebody tell you about that or something?
No, I thought about it afterwards, and I didn't even look it up. But I think it's probably like 6 or 7. But I was just so amped up because I'm like, hey, he can't block. You know, he's just going to come in and start blocking some of these guys. So if you looked at some of these boulders out there, these dudes are massive. And yeah, I know he's not a punk, but he's just going to come in and start blocking them. Yeah, okay.
I like how we don't even like check each other. Like you said that, and I was like, yeah, man, 9 years, that's crazy.
No,
so we need a producer.
Who cares about the official?
Right.
Who cares about the stats?
The point was the point. I mean, we kind of understood what you were saying. So,
but
let me ask you,
guys, go ahead. I was gonna say, if these guys are unhappy with him already, if they don't like it because it's not the NFL way, you know, well, then what's the NFL way? Enlighten us and enlighten the staff so we can start winning.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL way is to win. I mean, it's to win, bro. Like, yeah, you don't hear this stuff coming out of any other places that win. Winning cures all. If you guys win, or if you're doing something right, or even competitive, or you know, on your way to, you know, having a building culture and like all this other stuff, you don't have these little leaks and these little drops of like information about people being unhappy and everything. And I really do agree with your point about if someone is unhappy about something, they were here last year for 1-15. Bro, you did not win anything. The only thing that you delivered was the first round overround pick. Our first overall pick. That's all you delivered to us. And that's it. That's the only thing that you've done. Like, you go down in history as like a historic team that has lost. Like, you don't have anything to say.
Man, like, hold up a little bit. Jeez.
No, I'm just being real. You have no reason to be unhappy. Like you have no reason to be unhappy.
JK3 is like, it's not negative. It's not negative. And he's like, you're historically the worst team in the history.
Historically one of the worst teams. Yeah, man.
They're not the worst. I'm pretty sure there's a Detroit Lions team that's the worst of all time. I'm pretty sure.
Not the worst, but you know, you go down as one of the teams that had to go 1-15 to secure your team or secure your pick.
So Derek confirmed Pete Prisco's source was Cam Robinson. So
I did not confirm that because I don't know that. It's my opinion. Don't let that.
And subscribe to our Patreon to find out the other player that Derek was mentioning. We should probably get one of those, I think. So you mentioned Todd Gurley, and I'm assuming, you know, to a certain degree, the only reason you bring him up is because we're probably looking for replacements for Travis Etienne at this point. And I don't know if that guy's a replacement or not, but what kind of devastating impact, aside from Urban Meyer's just complete depressive tone in the press conference when it was brought up, what impact is that going to have on the offense this year, not having that guy out there?
I don't think it's going to have very much impact because we didn't see what they were going to do with him because Carlos Hyde got a lot of the burn in the second on some of those handoffs, which was the weirdest thing ever to me. Like, how do you take someone, what ETN was taking 25th, I believe.
Yeah.
In fact, 20-ish in there, and somebody's going to be, I guarantee somebody's going to be in my Twitter thread, like, oh, how do you not know where Travis Etienne was taken?
Oh,
like,
trust me, people will say it.
I don't care. Whatever. He wasn't first overall, so it doesn't matter. Anyways, so our second first round pick, if he's not taking the snaps, if James Robinson, who, you know, may do what he could, he had a couple of runs. We know what James Robinson is capable of because obviously behind this makeshift offensive line, he still had a record-setting year as a rookie, undrafted free agent, actually, last year. So we know he's capable of. Etienne, it was just very weird to me. And again, I don't know if this is Urban trying to keep his cards close to him, but how do you not hit Etienne in a couple of swing passes? How do you not get him out there to alleviate that blitz and, you know, really to have Trevor's blanket out there? You know, the person that he played, like, he was lined up with this man for like 3 or 4 years at Auburn. Like, if James Robinson isn't in, why isn't Etienne next to him? Why is Carlos Hyde there? Like, why? That baffles me. And Etienne can still take handoffs. Like, so I'm not saying that every time Etienne comes in, it's got to be a swing pass or some gadget player or something like that. But literally, out there where he can make the protections and make the blocks, he blocked for him, you know, make the protections and take the handoffs or call out the audibles. Why would you not have his security blanket out there next to him?
Yeah.
Like, this is super strange to me. So now he's hurt with Liz Frank. He may not return to be the same, like, player after that. So you definitely got, if depending on what Urban had going and what kind of, you know, plays and things he had lined up, there's words out there and there's things out there that he was going to use Etienne, like Kamara, you know, or Tyreek Hill, you know, a couple of these other, you know, gadget players, not gadget players, because those are both pretty good players, but kind of use them. Kind of use them in the same thing. So now, and then you had Tavon Austin, who was kind of showing his, you know, showing that he still had a little bit of gas in the tank. He goes down today in training camp. So yeah, I have no idea, you know, what they're going to look for and if they're going to bring in one, but I know Carlos Hyde is not the solution.
That's an unfortunate injury and that stinks. I agree with everything that JK3 said for once. No, but yeah, who are you going to get? I mean, there's some serviceable guys out there. Me personally, I wouldn't, you know, Todd Gurley is not I know no one said that or anything like that. Just his knee is definitely, it never has been the same. That's going to be a decision for them to make. Definitely going to need somebody on third down. I mean, Robinson could obviously be third down, but Carlos Hyde is, you know, I thought that we would only see him if we got inside the five.
But he was getting like plays out on the 30.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I was like, okay, Carlos Hyde, the only way we're seeing Carlos Hyde is if we get inside like the 5 yard line and we just need somebody to go run over somebody for 3 or 4 yards to get past that goal line. If Robinson's winded or something like that, that is it. So, you know, whether if it's someone like, you know, Duke Johnson, I think he's out there. A couple others. Do we want to go to TJ Yeldon route again? Probably not.
We don't want to go out there. We don't want to go Le'Veon.
Yeah, you don't want to go Le'Veon either? No. So, hey, Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson are dependable.
That is true.
So now, point is, that's a big loss, and it's unfortunate for Etienne, and hopefully he recovers and recovers fully and is able to get back to his old self next season. And that's just tough. It was a tough break. Let's see who they sign.
Tough break.
Stop it. Yeah. You know what? No, that's not what I meant. Okay. See, there you go again. People, the stuff that we don't put in the pod is usually better than the stuff. We could, you know, go non-family friendly and put some of the stuff that him and I get into on here, and we'd probably be, you know, have a really good show then.
Lots of cussing.
Yeah. But yeah, Etienne, it's crazy how that had happened, and very limited stock on guys who we have and who are available that can come in and help the team. But yeah, Carlos Hyde, to me, unless we're inside the five, he does not need to be on the field.
So since we're talking about like free agents and things that can really like help us out, the defense, you know, we were able to add Shaquille Griffin, and I don't know, he was involved. People were at me or were adding me and saying, well, he didn't get mossed. And I guess I used the wrong definition of mossed. Okay. He was involved in two touchdowns that Jameis had gotten off quick. And so as far as like the ball skills go, like, I mean, he was one of the higher priced free agents that we decided to bring in. I mean, do you expect more from a free agent like on the defensive side of the ball to really be able to make those plays, or were those just plays that the almighty Jameis Winston decided to make?
Both. You expect more out of him. And I'll tell you this, that ball that hit the second touchdown, that ball was perfectly placed.
Bro, it was perfect. There was going out of bounds or getting catch.
Yeah, there was nothing. He was right there. Shaq Griffin was right there to make the play. But the where the ball landed and where Jameis put the ball, end of story. So yeah. Let's just, you know, you got to let that go. Now, the first TD was bad because just, you know, they dang near ran into each other and almost. And then the guy creamed a wide receiver. If he didn't catch it, it would have been pass interference. And that's just, you know, hey, guys, you know, they got to play together more to know where they are on the field. But I wouldn't.
How many perfect Tyson Campbell either?
Yeah. How many perfectly placed balls are they going to see like that? That are just like right there.
I mean, honestly, they're going to see a lot more than that. They're going to see better quarterbacks this year than Jameis Winston.
Oh yeah, opinion. No. Oh, they're definitely.
Like, I know you're a Florida State guy.
I know he's your guy.
He was so psyched about it.
I know you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about like in the middle of the season. You got Tua. Say what you want about Tua. Say what you want about Kyler Murray. You know, say what you want about Josh Allen. I mean, there's a couple of players that you know, there's a couple quarterback, Matthew Stafford, there's a couple quarterbacks you're going to see that are better than Jameis Winston.
No. Yeah, every quarterback you just named is better than Jameis Winston.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah. All I'm saying is the ball placement, being put in that position to where the ball is just right out of your reach and – He wasn't able to get it, and the other guy was able to get, you know, at least one hand up and go get it. It's going to be, are you going to be put in that position again? You know, does he know to make a play next time? Does he know to do something, whether if it's pull the guy's, you know, hold arm, the opposite arm to make him fall to get the pass in, the PI call, so he doesn't catch it. You know, yeah, he gets the balls like the 2-yard line, but at least it's not in the end zone yet. So,
yeah, live to fight another day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I'm definitely not, man. I'm not a Gator like you, JK3. I'm not a homer. I love
that.
What
does that do with me? What is
that? Because Gator fans are homers. You believe everything else inside of Gainesville is the best thing since sliced bread. So, I understand that Jameis is a turnover machine.
I feel like I'm getting attacked.
I was hoping we would get a pick or two from him because that's what he's known for in the NFL.
I was the person that I wasn't even like on Tebow like that when he was here, and that
there was one episode if you remember that I'm surprised we haven't gotten roasted about yet, where we opened it up with like, man, we got a tight end, this guy looks so good, you know what I'm talking about?
I think I said in shorts he's the best tight end we had, it was pretty hyped up.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me.
So is the defense? I haven't said a word about
CJ Henderson or Taven. You guys know my disdain for Taven.
Yeah, right.
Taven needs to do the crate challenge. Okay. Yeah. Taven needs to do the crate challenge.
Rumor has it that's how he like got his black eye at the beginning of training camp. He started.
that's not a rumor. I've never heard that. So when Taysom Hill came in, which by the way, I haven't like followed the Saints camp or anything, but how was that ever a competition? Was it just strictly because they wanted to pay him respect or something, because it seemed like the defense got better when he came in. I mean, was that just, you know, what happened there? It seemed like we were okay when he was in at quarterback.
Saints have to run a lot of gadget plays, and not to say that Taysom Hill didn't, you know, they went 3-1 last year with him, but they have to run some gadget plays for him to be successful. And it kind of threw the offense off rhythm, which gave us a chance to catch up as far as not catch up like score, but catch up like just on what's going on out there. And then, you know, there were some decent plays that were made, but then Taysom Hill fought back. He didn't just bow down. He definitely fought back.
Yeah, he made some good plays.
Yeah, so, you know, the Saints have 140 million reasons, Corey, on why they made this a competition. He's got a $140 million like contract extension. It's very weird.
That's interesting.
He's got a very low base salary, but then he's got like if he wins the job or starts playing QB, he's got all these incentives that he can hit to get this big time money. It's the craziest contract I've ever seen. But that's why. That's why he was in. And I don't know, after, you know, although it was against the Jags, after, you know, that game, Jameis might have locked that up. But the defense did look better. There are guys out there that are ball hawks that really get after the front seven. There's a couple guys that just really, really understand where they need to be, playing assignment football, not trying to make the play all on their own, but waiting for people to back them up to come in and make the play. Yeah. And what I mean by back them up is, you know, being in position so you flush a guy a certain way so your teammate can make the tackle.
I really feel like Smoot also, like, you know, was able to show up, and rightfully so, man. I hope this is a year that, you know, Smoot can really, you know, kind of evolve, because he's kind of been buried on the roster for the last couple of years. And when he was able to come in on the third downs, or when we had those situations where we just kept bringing bodies in on the defensive line, felt like he was always able to contribute. So I hope that, you know, he gets more of a starting role. But, you know, I'm already high on Jahad War. I'm already high on Smoot. You know, if Josh Allen, if he can come back and continue to be the Josh Allen that he has, or that he was, you know, you're not going to be able to block everybody. So it's going to be an opportunity. And of course, Miles Jack is playing like lights out. Like, say what you want, I think with him being at his natural position right now, you know, it's just going to be great. I love the way how he was able to fight off that screen and kind of blow up the tackle. He was I think there was a couple of plays where he made like two or three tackles in a row. You know, so I'm super, super high on him. But I mean, the defensive line, they wanted to stop the run. This team was gassed with the run last year. You know, even in 2018, run defense was an issue. Once, you know, a lot of the defensive line departed, you know, your Malik Jackson's, you know, your what's the guy that came over from Baltimore, or not Baltimore, Buffalo? Darius, Marcel Darius.
Yeah, Marcel Darius.
Yeah. So he was gone. So there was, you know, obviously some issues that needed to be sewed up with the run. And I think they're gonna do that. You know, as far as with the current regime that they have now on the offensive line, or defensive line, I think they got a lot of bodies and things like that right there. So just making sure the linebackers, and I think that's why I think a lot of the starters need to play on Sunday, because I don't think there's a couple of people that are quote unquote game ready that Urban mentioned. And I think that, you know, no one can sit right now. I don't think anyone's good enough to like voluntarily be able to sit. To, I mean, DJ Chark, I know, you know, he's got his thumb injury, or his index finger, excuse me, one of his fingers is injured. But I think that, you know, he can kind of sit. There's a couple of players that are game ready, but a majority of the defense, they got to play. Like, I got to see more from that secondary, honestly.
Yeah, continuity, same thing on offense, same thing with the defense as far as on the back end. They've got to really band together and work together to try to understand where each other is, to get a feel for each other. And I think that's what – and only time will tell. Reps will help that once they, you know, get the roster correct and make sure we got the, you know, best six guys back there, or six, our best five guys back there, you know, three corners, two safeties. Hey, it could be six the way, you know, teams throw out – wide receivers and tight ends out on formations nowadays. But that's the biggest thing is Herb's got some chess pieces on that defense, especially on the back end, that he's got to figure out what he wants to do with, especially at the safety position, whether if it's Cisco or, you know, hopefully not Wilson. Please, no Wilson. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does there and what the D coordinator does to try to get that sewn up so we have at least a good group back there. Because getting beat, you know, going up early like 21-0, that's how when you're not a good team, other teams, their scheme, and this is what we're going to see a lot of. We're going to see a lot of deep shots taken against us. We're going to see a lot of teams try to hurry up and get up quickly, because that you don't let teams that aren't supposed to be good hang around, because that's how you end up getting beat. So the first, you know, 15, 18 minutes of the game for us are going to be critical, because if we don't protect the back end, that's where teams are going to be headed. They're going to be headed towards that deep ball.
All right. Well, we got the last preseason game on Sunday against the Cowboys, which is also
Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you guys watched that? Because I haven't really watched any of it yet. Is it good this year?
I refuse to look at anything Cowboys-wise until Jerry Jones sells the team or he goes, he croaks, because I think he's
– Gotcha.
Well, one or two things are going to happen. I know what's going to happen before he sells the team.
You know, so I can't say – you know, I've watched Hard Knocks because I just do not like Jerry Jones.
I'll say, man, I love that kind of stuff. So I've been tuned in like every Tuesday. And, you know, I love the production that HBO does. You know, there's not very, very many storylines, you know, that they're able, you know, to kind of develop into. There hasn't been that one player that, you know, everyone kind of like just latches onto and like hopes they make the team, you know, because a majority of it has been about Dak Prescott coming back from his injury, which is a big, you know, big deal. And then, you know, Amari Cooper coming back from an injury, which is going to be a big deal. So I guess there is a little bit of a resurgence, you know, from some of their offensive outputters. And I think Zeke, you know, as well coming back. I don't know if he was hurt or if he had a down year or whatever. But one of the things that I will be able to say is that they did they did like some type of drone, like flyover view of the star. And for people that aren't familiar with it, the star, I guess, is what Lot J here is supposed to be on steroids. So you have like, you know, an area where you can shop and have like high end, like restaurants, hotels that kind of lead into practice facility and training facility and football operations and stuff like that. You know, within, you know, that is not connected to AT&T Field in Arlington. So this is out in Frisco, Texas. But they did like a first, like, I think 4 or 5 minutes of this week's episode was just a drone, like, footage of going through. And it was just awesome, man, to really see the vision that Jerry Jones has. You know, say what you want about him, Derek. You know, the guy knows what he's doing. He can put what he wants into to vision. And it was pretty awesome seeing that.
No, cool. No. See, I'm going to disagree with you there, because he doesn't know what he's doing. And before the Jags even came to town, I was a Cowboy fan. That's why I say that. And he single-handedly driven that team. Yeah, they're still America's team, and they generate a lot of revenue, but they don't win anything. And they're not going to win anything as long as he's around. That's just my opinion. So since 95, I've been 100% Jags, because – you know, Jerry Jones, you know, they won the Super Bowl in 95, and in 96, we went on a run, and I was hooked ever since.
Before that, how many years were you a Dallas Cowboys fan?
When they drafted Emmitt.
I'm just trying to age you for the podcast.
You can go ahead and age me when they drafted Emmitt. Here, I'll go ahead and age myself. I'll age myself. In 1985 or 86, I can't remember the year, my father took me to my first football game in Tallahassee, I think Rickards High School, and they were playing Escambia. And I asked my dad, who was the guy running the ball? He said Emmitt Smith. So although Emmitt went to Florida, cool. I wasn't a Gator fan, but then when he got drafted by the Cowboys, that's how I became a Cowboys fan for a little while.
So you're a closet Florida fan is what you're saying?
No, absolutely not even close to being a closet Florida fan.
That's all right.
Funny. Are they covering any of the Jags game on Hard Knocks?
Well, how does that work? I think there's going to be a lot of so I think this would probably be a I don't think Dak, I don't think Zeke, I don't think any of the big players are going to have any actual play on Hard Knocks. You know, the only coverage that they have been doing is whenever of an opposing team is if there's a specific storyline or if someone has to do like has to like get some type of screen time. I would imagine if the Jags are playing their starters on Sunday, you know, that you will be able to actually see them in that kind of spotlight. But to me, you know, that kind of stuff is cool. You know, being able to, you know, have them within the spotlight, it kind of provides relevance with them playing on Monday Night Football, even though it was a preseason game. You know, there is still a little bit of relevance there. You know, you got to see them. You know, in the past, you know, we had those Friday night and Saturday night, you know, preseason games that nobody else was really paying attention to. So it just adds a little bit more of a little bit of form of relevance, but only if the team wins. You know, the Jags, I think they're both 0-2 right now. So, I mean, preseason, call it what you want. You don't, I mean, it doesn't count, but I still want to be able to see them score some points. I still want to be able to see the potential. I still want to see them, be able to see them do the basic things. Like, and that's the one thing that I just want to be able to see. And I don't understand, like, how much of the playbook that you could be hiding if you can't even do the basic things correctly. That's my soapbox.
No, that makes sense. Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully Urban Meyer will have Jaguars branded apparel on the sideline. Let's not do that in an actual game situation. That would be horrible.
Well, he's going to be out there in like a Vineyard Vines polo.
That would be bad. But yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please jump on and leave us a rating and review and subscribe so you can see new episodes in your feed. We're also on Spotify and Google Podcasts and pretty much every other podcast platform. But we appreciate you guys listening. Again, we're affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.